So we might as well get the elephant in the room out of the way. First of all, both Demasi and myself are recording with our built-in microphones, which really, honestly, after Alphonic does its magic and I get done editing in Reaper, I don't think it's going to turn out horrible. But I don't like not monitoring. Like, you've been not monitoring for a while, and I absolutely hate it now because I'm using both of the in-ear monitors. So I will lose one of these in-ear monitors probably in the next, I would say, 2 minutes or so, because I need to hear my voice, and hearing my voice with stuff in my ear is just weird.
Oh, see, I would have set up a, and I didn't think about that until right now either, but I would have made a device to, but it would have been latent. There would have been enough latency that it would have irritated me.
I already pulled one of my in-ears out, and it's so much better. Like it or not, I like to hear myself.
Hold on. IACastNet/listen. Let me send a link to Tia, because I didn't think you were going to go through all the trouble to stream.
So, if you're listening live, I do want to say there is a very high possibility you will lose us. Just letting you know that. Feel free to message me and let me know that you lost us if that's the case. Because I'm on hotel internet, and we'll see how that goes. I do have my phone here ready to connect to the Mac. By the way, tethering with a cable is super nice on the iPhone. So I'll do that
So you got that to work, huh?
Yeah. Yep. I've got that to work more reliably than wireless tethering right now, actually.
I have not gotten cable tethering to work. Do me a favor and clean feed. Bring your volume down to maybe minus 2 dB.
Oh, okay, okay.
And if anybody listening live can tell us a reliable way to go adjust those microphone settings for privacy, not privacy, like the different modes for your microphone in Mac OS, would be much appreciated. Because I cannot find them.
I cannot. Like, I know where they should be, but I don't even see them in Discord. I even tried Action. So did me coming down by minus 2 dB help a bit?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. That will not make an effect on the live stream, just so live stream listeners are aware. And you're like, well, I don't hear a difference. That's just in clean feed for the recording. Because, as I've told people, periodically this weekend, I'm okay with people recording audio too quiet.
Yeah.
Just don't record it too loud.
Yeah, if you record it too loud and it comes out distorted and you can't fix it.
Yeah.
If it's too low, you can always bring that up and clean it up. So here's the thing. Do I sound okay here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound fine to me. You do sound like you're a little ways away from the computer, but that's to be expected because, you know.
I'm a little ways away from the computer. Right. All right, so I'll bring the laptop a little closer. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. As I said, Alphonic will clean a lot of this up, and that's one of the cool things that Alphonic's on. I have an air conditioner running in the background. I don't know if you hear it or not, but it's
you know, I would have thought it was a fan, except your Mac doesn't have a fan in it. So I figured it was, because that's honestly what it sounds like. It's like a Intel Mac with the fan spinning.
Yeah. So shout out to a listener. You know who you are. Had lunch with you yesterday. It was a great experience. First time I've ever really got to sit down and have lunch with a listener. It was good. For those who don't know, I am in Virginia right now. At a leadership conference for ACB National. And it's been a very interesting weekend. Demasi and I are recording a day later because he had to go and get himself sick because he couldn't have done that earlier this week when I was sick or last week. So we're getting this recorded on Sunday night. I plan that we will not go super long. Like maybe we'll hit that
This is going to be a Marty episode for sure. He will not complain about the length of this episode at all, because I'm still not 100% recovered.
But I have a couple things to talk to you about, and I'm sure you have a couple things to talk to me about, so we might as well get into it. You got a new toy.
Yeah, man. So did you?
Yeah. And I spent $12 on four AAA batteries today.
So you went into the Walgreens and bought
No,
batteries.
sir, I went to the gift shop at the
Oh man, that is
hotel.
awful.
Yes,
So
yes.
what we have, and we're gonna take a well, yeah, we'll do this too, I guess. Mike can take it out if we shouldn't say it, but I'll get it out of the way first so it's said and done. If you're listening live, you'll know this for sure. If we shouldn't say it, then Mike will take it out of the post and nobody else will know about it. So what we have is the Zoom H1E or H1 Essentials, which is their new line or their update to their H1 line of products. The thing I'm going to say that I shouldn't say, or maybe shouldn't say, is that we're also going to be carrying these at AT Guys here pretty soon. We actually have the order is on its way to us as we speak. So I don't know why we wouldn't be able to say that we're going to carry these because we'll have them pretty soon.
Well, JJ said he was going to start listening to Technically Working when I talked to him last week. So, hi, JJ.
Yeah, I saw he was interacting on
Mastodon.
Mastodon.
And there's an AT Guys Mastodon account now, too. Did you see that yet?
I did not see that yet.
He made that like 2 hours ago.
Okay.
So,
Cool. So yeah,
yeah,
we're on Mastodon. So we got the Zoom H1E. Now at AT Guys, we'll be carrying all three models of the Essential series. So that's the H1, the H4, and the H6. But me and Michael both have the H1 now because, well, in my case, that was the first one shipping. I think that may be the same reason Mike picked it because it was the first one shipping.
Yep, and JJ has the four now, and he's been sharing his thoughts on Mastodon. Jonathan Mosen posted on the Blind Podmaker today his demo slash review of the four as well.
He did the four. I thought he did the six. I saw his
He did the
podcast with
six
it.
last week and the four today.
Okay. Yeah, I will have to check that out. Check both of those out. I did see his one for the six. I was like, as soon as I'm coherent enough to know up from down, I will listen to it. So glad he's got both of those out. So the cool thing about these, if anybody hasn't heard, is that Zoom for a long time has been one of the standards in portable recorders, where whether it's pocket recorders or field recorders out there. And now with this new release to the update to their H series, maybe Michael has done the research to know the difference in what their H versus F is. I have
Nope.
no idea. Okay,
Sure have.
so I ain't gonna worry about it. But the cool thing about this H1 Essential or this H Essentials line that they have now updated is it has accessibility built in, so the menus are all spoken. And a very nice touch, I think, from them. And I think it kind of should be the way a lot of stuff comes out of the box is the accessibility is on and you have to opt out of it. So instead of us having to remember this, random finger, gymnastics to turn it on or, frantically Googling when you take it out of the box and when somebody calls up to ask you or somebody posts, how do I do this? You're looking for a link to send them. No, you turn it on and it's talking and you have to say, no, I don't want you to talk, which is nice. All of the menus are spoken. One thing, and I don't know if this is, it's probably made it out to Mastodon, obviously, but for anybody who's not following the conversations on Mastodon or checking out Jonathan Joe, if you're listening to us right now, I will tell you that one mystery has been solved, at least on my part, was when you went to the help on the device, it didn't say anything. Well, it turns out there's a QR code on the screen, so it doesn't say anything for anybody or read anything. It's just a QR code you can scan to get to their help documentation. But everything else, I think, is fairly well spoken, with the exception of the list of files as you're navigating, unless I'm missing something on this particular model. Okay. But they are seemingly absolutely open to feedback on improvements. It does seem like something that they can improve upon as we move forward. So it's not, oh, here's a thing, we're done, which is great. But I think what they've done up to this point and what they've released is pretty amazing, honestly.
And they have pushed an update on Thursday, a firmware update on Thursday. Might have been Wednesday, but I think it was Thursday. to the Zoom H1E specifically, one of the gotchas is everything speaks, but the upgrade process does not speak. So there are some directions on how to get through that. And again, they're receptive to feedback, and that's super exciting about it. So for those who don't know, this is a rectangular device, easily fits in my palm, and it has four buttons directly below the screen that you use to navigate the system itself. And then below that is a set of five buttons, one in the middle, two on the left, and two on the right on top of each other. And these allow you to navigate the file system and the files themselves as well. On the left side is a switch that you pull down to turn it on. It plays a little tone. Directly above that is a knob. Speaking of Marty, he taught me something. If you turn on the H1E, but you have that knob turned all the way down, the H1E will play music, but it will not speak to you. And a way you can tell that that's what you've done is when you turn it off, if it doesn't play that separate tone, then check your volume. Because I instantly went to, oh, you messed up, Marty. You didn't, you turned off text-to-speech or something. So I started going through the process of being like, all right, we're going to have to press this button once and then this button twice and then this button once. And then I realized, if you turn the volume all the way down on that left knob, because that's not a gain volume, that's a volume for the speaker itself, then it will play the startup sound, but it does not say rec mode. And then when you turn it off, it does not play the turn off sound. So that's something to be aware of.
Yep, and I just duplicated that because I was not aware that it will play a sound turning it on, but not play a sound turning it off. But it is an indicator that you have your volume down.
Yeah.
And Mike mentioned that this is not a gain knob. This is a volume knob for either the internal speaker that is on the device or for your headphones if you have headphones plugged in. This unit, none of these new Essentials 8 series from Zoom has any sort of gain control for your inputs because it records in 32-bit float, which is stealing a line from Motion. And I say that, you know, not tongue-in-cheek at all, but really stealing a line from Jonathan Motion. That is kind of an accessibility feature as well, because now as a blind person, I don't have to worry about trying to monitor levels or meters to make I'm not in the 30 flow defends you against all of that. So it's nice because you record, bring them up. If you need to bring it down, you can bring it down, but you don't have to worry about any of those metering things going on, which has always been a sore spot for me with quite a few many devices I've had where, we'll tell you if you're peaking by showing you some red lights. I'm like, yeah, that's helpful.
No. It'll tell you if you talk loudly into the microphone. It gives you audible feedback to tell you that you're too loud.
yeah, it definitely does. And for anybody that was listening when we first started, I had Mike bring his volume down some because I was worried about him peaking in the recording for Clean Feet because we don't have 32-bit float over here. So we want to make sure we don't ruin the recording because this is going to be a weird one. But we're in episode 50.
This
is
going to be a weird one.
Hey, man, listen. We're technically working, right?
And we didn't break our streak. I was a little concerned there for a second. I'm like, well, we'll run with it. Like, you know, it happens. But all this talk about not breaking our streak, and then we might have broke our streak.
So I had a couple of thoughts about this yesterday, because I waited right up until the last minute. I was like, I can't do it. Like, because I was like, well, maybe I'll feel good enough to sit up. And I was like, well, maybe I can get the microphone and put it over here on the bed and I can just lay down and record. And I was like, nah, I can't do none of that. So I finally text Mike. I was like, all right, man, we can't record today because I'm sick. And like, I can't talk because I didn't have any sort of voice yesterday at all. And also, I really couldn't tell up from down and left from right. So I don't know what might have happened. But I thought about, you know, it kept sticking to me for a while before this week that we should go ahead and pre-record that episode because Mike's going to get up there. He's going to be too busy and we're not going to have time to record. I was like, well, that turned out not to be the problem. It turns out I got sick and couldn't record. Man, we really should have pre-recorded this episode.
We need a pre-recorded episode and they can't. Hey, whatever happened to reaching out to Steven to pre-record an episode with him?
Oh, man, you know, I'll tell you what happened. That guy stopped responding to me on WhatsApp. Man,
oh, I have a meeting with him Wednesday, so I'll call him out on that.
No, I actually didn't follow up because I knew he was like super busy over the holidays and they had a lot of stuff going on with AMI. Oh, yeah. And I like, since I've been here, I didn't, honestly, I didn't cross my mind to be like, hey, Steven, when you got time to record? It's like, no, when do I have time to do anything?
Right. Yeah, but that would be a good, if you want to come talk about your way that you're using technology to be more productive in work and you think you'd be a good chat with Demasi and I, reach out to us via feedback at technicallyworking.show.
Yep, that email just works, man.
This weekend emphasized to me, we need to have some content in the can, not only because life happens, but you know what? We need to take time off every once in a while, too. We've almost done it for a full year without missing a time. So every once in a while, we need an opportunity to just say, you know what? Let's take this week off. But hey, we have content so the listeners still get something.
Yeah, and it's funny that you see, this is one of the reasons that me and Mike work so well together, because I actually had the idea of putting a call out to people. One thing I want to discuss, and if you are a person that is, especially if you're an iPad, how do they phrase this nowadays in the media? Your iPad first person, like you use your iPad more than you use a, you know, standard Mac or a Windows computer. Definitely interested in hearing your thoughts, hearing how you use your iPad, what apps you may use. And if you want to come on and have a conversation about it, you know, we're open to that as well. So reach out to us, feedback@technicallyworking.show, or reach out to us on Mastodon. We'll give you all those details at the end of the show. Speaking of...
Again, it's not going to be that long today.
Nope. Speaking of the feedback email address, I want to give a shout out to Lord Robin, who reached out to us over email and gave me an idea for an app to try that gives you more fine-grained control over what you hear over Apple's built-in hear-through mode. Mm-hmm. The app he gave me was called Heard That. And it did work at filtering out the background noise. So I did actually try it this week. It worked on filtering out the background noise. So like it got rid of that fan noise from the griddle down there, the hood. Yeah, got rid of that noise, got rid of all the motor noise and all of that. So it did have me kind of laser focused in on the talkback coming out of that little tablet. There may be a way to solve this problem, which is it didn't let me, and I didn't spend enough time. Like I literally set it up like 5 minutes before I had to start working the register. So there may have been some more settings I could have tweaked that I didn't understand. I didn't want to mess with it too much because it seemed to be doing quite a job at filtering out the background noise at least. But if someone was at the register and started yakking, well, it would just boost them up to like, hey, you want to hear what this person has to say? Like, no, I really don't want to hear their conversation. They're having a side conversation over there. But it did work to filter out a lot of the noise that was driving me nuts. The only one problem with the app is, and perhaps Robin was grandfathered into it, or maybe it only, you know, costs money now, but they give you a 30-day trial, I think, and then or something. They give you a trial, and then it's a subscription. It's $9.99 a month, $100 a year, or $54 for 6 months.
Yeah, I knew there was a cost. I didn't know the numbers off the top of my head, but there's been a cost since day one. They did, because when he recommended that and I saw that, I actually saw your reply to him. I'm like, what? Robin's emailed us? I didn't know he listened to the show. So
that's what I said.
But I knew there was a cost, so I hadn't really thought about bringing that up to you. I'm glad that you're trying it out. They did push an update late last week as well to improve some accessibility things. So it was already fairly accessible, and they apparently have made it even more accessible. So just if you haven't seen that update yet.
Yeah, it's something I'll absolutely play around with. And there are some actual vendors who are running their own, you know, that are actual, you know, actually have facilities that they're running. One guy introduced him to the hear-through mode on the iPhone that he was going to try out. So I'll mention the app to him because, you know, in my opinion, at least as a vendor, if you need this, because Square's accessibility is crap. And apparently nobody from, apparently the business enterprise program as a collective is either not applying, you know, their considerable power to try to influence Square, or they're just not getting anywhere. which is entirely possible. If you have to pay for an app like this, I feel like that should be a reasonable business expense. I'm not going to pay for it because I'm not making any money at BEP right now. So I won't spend my money on it. Again, I do appreciate Robin sharing it because it was a much better experience while I did use it. And I think this was Friday that I used this. It was a much better experience than the Here Through, because as I mentioned, you know, Here Through just magnified everything. Apple's deal just magnified everything. So it's like, oh, well, I can hear the cooler fans, which I couldn't hear, you know, before now. But now I hear the compressor.
I don't need to hear them.
Yeah, I can hear the compressor kicking on in the freezer over there across the room. Like, I really didn't need that. So definitely appreciate that. I also appreciate Robin being a listener. I was not aware that Robin listened to our show. It's kind of funny to me in his email, though. He's like, I'm, you know, he mentioned at the bottom, like, a friend of Steven and Sean. I was like, man, I know you. Like, I remember you from the tech guy days. So, like, I'm shocked you're listening to my show. I promise you, there's a couple of people here at Gentry that listen to our show. I don't know exactly who they are, but I know there are a couple of people that listen to the show.
And there's been some people that I've ran into here at Leadership that have mentioned technically working. Of course, everyone here at ACB knows Unmute because we're live in community on Tuesdays. But it's a humbling, that's maybe not the right word, but it's a great feeling to be known or to have people come up to you and say, hey, I listened to this show, when you think, oh, you listened to that show? I didn't know. You must be the third listener that's downloading the episode now.
We absolutely got more than three downloads.
I got a question
going back to the Zoom recorder for a second. I'm wondering if you made the same mistake I did when you bought this, because I probably wouldn't have bought it if I would have known that I was wrong about this. I thought this also had an XLR port on it.
And I shouldn't have thought this, because I did listen to some audio, and knowing now, oh, there's a line in connection or an eighth inch connection. Oh, okay. That makes a little bit sense. And when I first got the package, I'm like, that's too thin to be to have an XLR port. Now, on the 4 and 6, there are XLR ports. But at first, I'm like, well, where's the – oh, there's not an XLR port on this one. So that is why I will end up with a 4 or a 6. Probably the 4, unless there's a compelling reason for the 6. Now, longtime listeners might know I had the Zoom PodTrack P4 for a very brief period of time. I think this 4 is going to be a lot better of an experience, obviously, because of the text-to-speech, but in general, with the 32-bit float, than what the PodTrack P4 was for me. I'm interested to see what type of mixing capabilities / routing capabilities there are on the 4. I at first did wonder where the XLR port was, and then I actually paid attention.
Okay. So I actually called you
Wednesday.
Yeah, because we had our AT guys meet. I was like, so mine arrived. I just hadn't, you know, went and picked it up yet. Like, they got it in the office or whatever. So I get in here and I open it up, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait, there's not an XLR port? Is it hidden? Like, is there some secret door somewhere? What's going on? I was like, oh, let me call Mike because maybe I'm just confused.
And then I was busy. I don't remember what I was doing. And then I called you back and you were busy or something. And so we hadn't talked.
We hadn't talked. So I didn't get a chance to ask you, like, did you make the same mistake I did? Or did you know when you bought it that it didn't have? Because I did not. I was a little baffled. But glad I wasn't the only one who made that mistake. In retrospect, it does make sense. Because everybody, I mean, I just listened to the interview that Jonathan Mosen did with the Samuel from Zoom. And he did mention the line in, you know, port and the capability of using a, you know, like a lavalier mic or something like that with the Zoom one. Assumed that was a bonus feature that he was mentioning.
Right.
But no. But anyway, it's still a nice little pocket size recorder. The microphones pick up fairly well. It does have quite a bit of handling noise if you're moving it around or picking it up or anything while you're recording. So my advice would be mounted on something. It does have a standard screw hole on the back, so you can mount it on a little tripod or a little portable stand or something like that. Or just, stand it up or prop it up on something. It will stand on its end, fairly reliable on a decent surface. Like, I
I hadn't
did.
even thought about that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, stand it up on its end. So long as you're not, on a shaky surface or you're not jostling it, it should stand up.
Yep, it sure does.
So I
I
did
just
a
love how small it is. I can always have it in my pocket now. Like, always got a voice recorder on me now. I see the value in these field recorders now.
Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of had a sense of the value, and it's why I've spent money on different things over the years, including that freaking Portcaster
Anyone looking to buy a Portcaster? Feedback could definitely work.
that I now need to sell. 'Cause, yeah. Look, feedback and tell, reach out on Mastodon, man. Like, I'm looking stuff for sale if somebody actually wants it. I'm not going to put a lot of effort into selling it right this moment, but. If anybody's interested, it is out there. I still have all this. I even have the little pivot mics.
Ah.
Come on in, have a shop around. But yeah, definitely see the use case in this. The batteries are great. I did connect it to the Mac in US. Now, I haven't tried it as a interface, because all this will allow me to do is just use the built-in mics. But I did connect it to the Mac and copy files off of it, and just to have a play around real quick. Had all about 15 to 20 minutes. I've shown it off to a couple of people here.
That's funny, so have I.
Like, yeah, we're gonna be carrying these pretty soon. Because I fortunately, I guess, or yeah. I got mine after we had our meeting, so it was confirmed that we had them. Or we were going to have them. So I was like, yeah, I can start showing this off like this is, let me sit down and do a thing and show you how this works.
My phrase is unofficially, we'll be carrying these soon. Go to atguys.com, get signed up for the newsletter, and you'll be the first to know when we have them.
See, I didn't think all that way through. I should tell people to do that, though.
Yeah,
Go sign up for the newsletter because we got some announcements coming up, actually, that we're not going to leak on this show today. Partially because I forget some of them, and some of them I probably can't mention at the moment anyway. So, but yeah, go to atguys.com and sign up for the newsletter. And that's our ad. I'm going to send JJ an invoice.
You might not have to if he's actually listening.
I mean, I'll still send him an invoice. How's he going to pay it? Man, he can't pay
True. He'll
it.
better understand what the invoice is for.
Yeah, there you go. If
There you
he's
go.
listening, he'll be like, well, that ad really was kind of, poorly done. But anyway, man, so what else has been going on?
Not a whole bunch. I mean, not a whole bunch, but a whole bunch, if that makes sense. Like, it's just been a lot of life. Let's pick your brain for WordPress for a couple of minutes, and we'll see where things are there. But I am working on some WordPress sites, and I have a client who says, "Hey, I want to have these headings be a specific point. Like, I want them to be 14 point, and heading level 2 is to be 12 points or whatever." You change that under the configure or the customizer, and then you go into typography, correct?
That's not where I would go change it,
Oh,
but
okay.
that's also because I would try to pick an option that was more theme agnostic. So if they decide for some reason they don't like GeneratePress, those settings would still stay there. And honestly, I've not really spent a lot of time. I tend to stay away from anything typography related. Even in GeneratePress, unless I absolutely have a good set of eyeballs that is a that has a design eye on them that can tell me what I'm doing, because I don't understand a lot of those settings. What I would do is either using the plugin from Tom who does GeneratePress, Simple CSS, I think is the name of it. I would go and I would just write the CSS for it.
Ah, because then that'll stay across plugins. So if you switch or themes, so if you
Yeah,
switch
so if you
themes.
switch themes, you still keep those same settings.
Huh. Okay, I guess I'm gonna go learn CSS.
So it's not super difficult. You're basically, and you just have to make sure you write it out correctly. But like you would do H1 dot, I think it's H1 dot. I usually have to check my CSS to be honest, but I think it's H1 dot and then a left brace, a new line, and that's going to automatically indent for you if you're in that plugin editor, or if you're writing in something like VS Code and you're doing CSS, it's going to automatically do the indention for you. And you want to set the, I think it's just size. Again, this is something I usually have to go look up just to make sure I'm right. But I think it's size, or maybe font hyphen size, space, and then, you know, 14.
Yeah.
And semicolon.
Or whatever.
Or, yeah, whatever it is.
Semicolon at the end.
Yep. And then a closing brace. And you're done. And then that will change all of your heading level ones to that font size.
Or site if you want all wide, that, or is that page?
No, like that'll, you have to do that on every page. No, that'll be site wide. If you put it into that plugin editor, that'll be site wide.
Okay. Sweet. Well, see, that solved that problem, because I will use GPT to help me work on some CSS code and ask questions of it. That's what I have been finding using GPT for a lot more, is to teach myself stuff that I know the basics of and I know what it should look like, but I just don't remember the syntax, or I don't remember, you know, exactly how to do this, but I know the procedure that I should follow. So help guide me through that process.
And that's kind of where I settled at with it as well. I have not had an opportunity to really try out the large language model formerly known as Bard.
Gemini.
What do they call it? Gemini, thank you.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be funny, but also couldn't remember what it was called. But in my, you know, sometime usage right now of GPT, that has been mostly where I kind of settled. And I think I kind of had settled there the last time we were talking about it, was like, you know, mostly is going back and helping me firm up things like that. Like, I know generally how to write that CSS, you know, and I might would even type it in and be like, okay, tell me if this is correct, right? And I can always test the theory of that as well. But I know, like you said, the general format, I know how to do I need to do. I may not remember the exact specifics. And in that case is where I find it most useful, because it saves me on a lot of internet searching and waiting through, you know, somebody's support document or the W3 site to find, to get the exact info. Because, you know, there's a lot of crap you got to wade through on, even on their site. I know what I'm looking for, but I still got to wade through a bunch of their other crap just to get the specifics of what I need. And it may not even give me the specific answer that I'm looking for. So that's why I found GPT to be of great use, and still got Mac GPT installed. I don't care, remember the last time I used it, but that's a sign of the times.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, do you want to report on anything or wrap up? Because we are at about 35 minutes, so it would be a shorter episode, but I'm okay with shorter.
I mean, man, I'm okay with a shorter episode, because I'm about talking out, I think, honestly. My plan was to have you do most of the talking, and that ain't work out. I guess I should have told you that before we started recording. Like, all right, Mike, I'm going to let you do all the talking. Tell us all about this leadership training. This leadership training you got going on.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up real quick after I do actually bring that up. See, you should have just asked me that, but this is – Jeff asked me today, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, I don't know. Demasi and I haven't talked all week, so we're just going to talk about whatever comes out, because that's the show.
Has gone on with this training that you're able to share about what you're doing up there? And just look out, folks, because Mike's going to be a big shot in a minute. He ain't going to be able to talk. We only going to get to talk when we do what the show did. It's like, oh, you know, I got to do this show with this guy.
I'll have to charge people to talk to me. No. So it's actually been a good experience. I have gotten an opportunity to help with some of the AV stuff, which is pretty cool, because that's what I enjoy doing and that's what I'm doing for Oregon. And it was funny because Rick was working with Brad, one of the guys here, and Brad was helping with a breakout session. And then Rick realized Brad had a Mac, and he's like, I can't help you with that because I don't know anything about the Mac. So that's where I came in. And it was a good feeling to go in and check out the the loop back session and say, yeah, everything looks good. And they kept thanking me. And I'm like, I didn't do anything, but it's that reassurance of someone saying, yeah, it looks good. And then it worked. And that's a pretty cool feeling when everything actually works the way you expect. So we were using a audio interface, and I forget the name of it. We will talk about that next week. So,
oh man, see, this is what your handy pocket recorder is for. So you can stop and be like, hold on, what was the name of that again?
Record
the name of it, and then boom, you got it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to probably actually look it up real quick while I'm using Safari, because, you know, why not try to break something while we're recording? But we used this, he used a mixer to go to in person, and he has a speaker that's almost the same height as I am. And that's how the in-person people heard the audio, is the audio was going out of a mixer into that speaker and then also into the interface as well. And it was a Presonus Studio 26, I think is what it was.
Ah, we have heard of this one before.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Loopback saw everything but Core Audio. I'll just leave it at Core Audio, which really throws stuff off more than it should. Shout out
to Apple.
Yeah, yeah. Rick's like, oh, in Windows, I just see it as different devices, and I just go map everything in Zoom as the different device. I'm like, yeah, I know. I might go back to Windows for audio stuff.
We've said it before, and I'll say it again. It is sad when that is the thing that I consider often more times than not, is I should just buy a little small Windows, you know, box computer.
Or something.
Yeah, for doing audio stuff like that. When it's more convoluted or needs to have more inputs and outputs than I can comfortably deal with inside of the Mac, because it's just ridiculous.
But actually seeing the way he had the mixer set up at both of the scenarios gave me some ideas. Probably is going to cost me some money because now I'm going to go get me just probably this Mackie 16 or a Mackie 12, just one of these mixers. So I have one on hand, and it's not going to be my primary driver, but at least I'll be able to route audio the way I want it to. And I'm actually looking forward to the board meeting in April, because now I have a better idea mentally of how I want to process everything and send audio around. And he had some wireless mics that each mic had its own receiver. And I'm like, well, I'm fancy. I have this Gemini receiver that will receive two mics at once. But really it's just two receivers combined into one with single XLR ports out of them, or a combined quarter inch. And then the last thing that I'll mention is Rick and a couple of other people who I've talked to about audio says you will end up with more cables than you need, because you're going to buy something you think you need and then realize you don't need that. So now you got to go buy the cable that you actually do need. And I'm like, yep, been there, done that. So definitely the case is cables will be of abundance. And aside from that, I feel your pain, Demasi, right now when it comes to spending money, because I knew I was going to be spending money this weekend on food, but damn, food is expensive. Like,
yes, sir.
I want to go home because I can make food for a heck of a lot cheaper. So, yeah.
Man, yeah. That is like my daily refrain. I wish I stayed close enough to be able to just drive. Like, even if it was, you know, if it was 30 minutes away, I would go home every day. I'm not going.
Right.
I would just go home. But it's more like 2 hours, which means I have to get up at like 4:30 or leave at like 4:30 to get here in time for class. Like that's
doable, but it's the reliable transportation to get you back and forth, in my opinion. Like, I could do the 4:30. I'd get used to it.
I would. But you're right. It's the reliable transportation at the moment to get here at 4:30. And then what does that person do, right? Because that, to me, seems an utter waste of gas and wear and tear on a vehicle to drive back after you drop me off for 2 hours and then come back 2 hours. Like, that's eight hours, you know,
both ways. Just transporting me 4 hours.
For one day. Yeah. That's 8 hours, right?
Now, one thing, I don't know if Alabama's doing this, but one thing I have learned, and I'm going to push this with my local chapter, like a lot harder. I knew some states were doing it, but I didn't realize to the extent of what some of the states are doing. And that is, paratransit is a horrible experience for a lot of people. I've heard nothing but complaints about paratransit for people. But in Colorado and Texas specifically, paratransit for their local areas has partnered with Uber, and they provide blind individuals or people utilizing the service with a specific dollar amount per ride. And if you go over that dollar amount per ride, then you pay the difference, which makes perfect sense. But a lot of people might say, well, that's going to be super expensive. And when you think about it, it's actually going to come out ahead, because I'm thinking of how many times did I ride back from Bicoastal Media and there was me on a bus. So they were paying the driver. They're paying the gas to drive this driver. They're paying for the wear and the tear on the vehicle for one person to use the paratransit. And then again, it's not as reliable as one would like. Whereas I've been spoiled with Uber lately, man. Like I went to go have lunch with that listener yesterday, and it was nice to just pop open my app, jump in an Uber, go get where I needed and get back. And if I had it to that reliability at home, and some of that was paid for, I'm just thinking of the independence opportunities that would open up. So a lot of states, and it might be worth checking in your state, will use Uber and Lyft for medical transportation. But apparently there are states out there now that are working in pilot programs to say, hey, let's offer this opportunity to our paratransit riders so we can actually save money. Even if we give them $25 per ride and they can take up to 30 rides a month or whatever, it's still going to save them money, because not everyone's going to use all that money, so they're not spending it either.
Exactly. So that's a good deal. Definitely looking forward to hearing more information about how that works. I do not think they're doing that in Alabama as far as a supplement to their paratransit services. They're most certainly not doing it in Tuscaloosa. This is something that was up for discussion in Atlanta. I want to say probably the year I left Atlanta, actually, 2017. So early that spring, I was at one of the MARTA board meetings or public meetings or whatever type of meeting it was. Anyway, there was a bunch of people there. And this came up as a topic of discussion. And it was something they were going to, of course, oh, we'll defer this, we'll investigate, and so on and so forth. Anyway, I moved well before they got anywhere near making a decision. I'm guessing that has not happened because I haven't heard about it from anybody else. But that was kind of the similar deal, is like, you know, you get a certain amount, and they were trying to figure out all the details, but I thought that giving people a certain ride amount, which would cover, you know, most cases, and if you went beyond that, you know, you pay the difference. The difference is going to be way less than, you know, what you would pay flat out to an Uber or a Lyft. So that is an interesting thing, and definitely something to move upon. So, keep me informed on that, and I will do my best to find like-minded people that are also, you know, willing to spearhead something like that, because I'm not going to say I'm not, but I'm probably not the right person to do it because I have a bit of an attitude. I'm like, listen, it's taking so long, man. Just get it done. Make it happen.
Right.
Look, call the Uber CEO. We ain't got time to be dealing with these.
This department talking to this department. Let's push this down because I need transportation.
Right.
But it might be a good opportunity, especially for your vending route too, because that could – I mean, maybe not to transport product, but to go check on a machine real quick. It'd be nice to be able to have that flexibility to just open up Uber and say, oh, this ride's only going to cost me $12 versus the $32 it might cost me to get out there.
Yeah. There's definitely some opportunities there. So, yeah, sounds like a definite plan. I have, my Medicare provider is... Let me go check my messages and see if T is going to text me who it is. Because I don't remember.
Got to give it 60 seconds, though, because of the delay.
Yeah, but they give me an allotment for trips that I think are medical related only. So like back and forth to the doctor, where I can use Uber for these trips, and they will cover the cost of that as well. And as soon as she texts me and tells me who it is, I will share it with the rest of you all because... Wait, why am I dragging stuff? I shouldn't be dragging anything.
Man, messages is driving me crazy on the Mac lately. I sat there and heard 8 messages not responding before I said, quit, I'm done with you messages, I'm going to the phone. Just as a heads up.
Humana is who
I'm Humana, okay. Yeah.
See, look, I told you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it giving me this drag sound like I'm dragging stuff? I'm not dragging anything.
Maybe you are and you just don't know it.
Oh. Okay, I did have mouse up, mouse down on for some reason. Okay, there we go. Yeah, take a look at your provider if you are a Medicare recipient and see what type of good, because oftentimes you will switch to one of these or you will have one of these carriers and there'll be a lot of things that they give you that you may not be fully aware of. So absolutely take a look at that. I happen to be using Humana, but there are others out there that may offer similar things, or if not, consider switching when it's your time to switch. Next open enrollment.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is not any sort of medical advice as a insurance provider at all. I am just telling you, sharing my experiences and my, you know, whatever. Basically, I'm not really giving you advice. I'm just telling you what I do.
Just saying, know what you're using.
Yeah.
Know your options.
If you want to investigate based off what I've told you, that's a good idea. But I'm not at all advising anyone to go do anything based off what I just said because I have no idea what your medical needs are. Consult your representative from said insurance provider is what I suggest you do, or your doctor.
I suggest finding someone who's willing to learn how to advocate to get what you need. And I'm going down that path. I don't know how where it's going to end up, but it's a path in life for sure.
And as with all paths, at some point they must come to an end, just like this show for today, at least.
Oh, that was good.
So, first off, I want to thank our supporters, and you know, we definitely appreciate your financial contribution to our show through the tip jar. If you would also like to support us through the tip jar, you can go to technicallyworking.show, and on that page is a link that takes you to our Pinecast tip jar. And you can subscribe whatever dollar amount you are comfortable committing to each month. Very much appreciated. Also, with being a supporter comes bonus content that you will, you know, periodically get. We have not committed to giving you anything every week, but we will commit to giving you something periodically just because we want to make sure you get it. Also, usually, won't happen for you this week, unfortunately, but usually supporters also get their show a day early. Yeah. Won't get it today or this week, a day early.
You'll get a couple hours early. Make sure to put a little difference in the time publishing when I publish it.
But usually they get their episodes released to them on Sunday and everybody else gets the public feed on Monday. But outside of that, we truly appreciate it because you can spend your money anywhere. You have chose to spend some of it with us. So thank you very much. Also want to thank all of our listeners, even if you're not a direct supporter financially, because even listening to the show, you are a major part of why we keep doing what we do. And I do love to see my download numbers go up. So thank you very much. Share the show with a friend. You can reach out to us. We've given you the email address several times, but one more time, feedback@technicallyworking.show. And if you want to follow us or reach out to us on Mastodon, he's Payon, Payown, at unmute.community. And I'm Damashe, Damashe, at unmute.community.
Next week, we'll have better audio. We promise.
Maybe. Peace out.
Yeah.
We just promised next week we'll be here.